12.
I didn't.
Just copy and paste that throughout the episode. Anytime I say,
I'll just clip it and just 12. Put it wherever you say it.
Yeah. Welcome to Mysteretical, where we take a theoretical approach to solving mysteries. So put on your lederhosen and join us for this week's Mysteretical, the mystery of the Schultze family.
Boom!
Cool.
Great.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
What did I say, Schultz?
I keep wanting to say scheisse, but that's shit, so I know it's wrong.
I'm playing it now.
It was something like that. There's no L in the pronunciation.
Schultze. Okay, we're going to put you on pause. We'll be back, I'm sure.
What is it? Schultze.
Schultze. So I want to do something about Germany. So let's like do the episode. And then if something stands out, can you shut the fuck up?
I think in every, you know how like Will Smith in every movie says, what the hell is that? I think yours is shut the fuck up.
It is. I say it a lot.
Mine's fuck off.
Yeah, I say that a lot too.
I say that a lot. I also say basta like I'm Italian, but I'm not.
It's like, I love living on the street that I live on. It's so busy, but it's like so busy, you know?
Yeah.
So when I'm going to sleep, there's people that will like, if I have my window open because it's like nice out or something, there's people that are screaming in the middle of the night. Like, shut the fuck up.
I personally kind of like city sounds.
I don't mind them, but like it, so I'm like on the first level and I'm literally 6 feet from the sidewalk. There's like a gate surrounding our building though. And like, it's covered with foliage. Fuck. It's covered with foliage.
Foliage?
Like, it's got an ivy and like a bush and stuff. So like, they can't see me and they can't see that my window's open, you know, like.
Right.
So it's safe, but I can hear them like they're right outside my window. It sounds like I'm with them, you know, on the street. And so I'm like woken up and I'm like, what? Especially like if they're on our side of the sidewalk. Well, I just walked outside to let my dogs out. One of the cars parked on the curb was broken into, like it's fresh glass broken.
Yeah.
I felt so bad. They must have had something in there because that's the first time I've seen a car broken into, you know?
Yeah.
They must have had something like a laptop or something.
Well, in all honesty, welcome to LA. I've had my car broken into twice. Not the new one that we have, but like my old.
I can't. I don't know what I would do. I'm glad that mine is locked up in a garage underground. Yeah. I'm good with that.
My roommate, because we used to live in North Hollywood, and it was hoodish, but yeah. People were tagging buildings and whatever, but there was my roommate went to go to work, and she was like, something's up with my car. It looked like someone had backed into her, and it was a BMW. It looked like someone had backed into her car, and the bumper just like fell off.
Yeah.
And then just left it there. And she's like, I'm just going to Uber. And then she Ubered to work or whatever. And then she came back and her car, it was because they had ripped the bumper off, taken the headlights out. They also drilled a hole underneath her, like door handle.
Yeah.
And broke into the car. They stole her iPod and like a bunch of stuff. And they also stole her gas cap, which I just thought was really funny. Just like, I need one of these. I'm going to. Take
PSA, don't leave anything visible in your car. If you're going to leave it in your car, leave it in your trunk. If you can take everything with you, take it all with you. That's what I do. I look like a pack rat walking around with like backpack and stuff, but I don't care. She's trying to get her collar back. She sees it on the table and it's like clear and stuff. I don't know why. I bought them new collars this week.
Ooh, fancy.
So I'm waiting for them to come in. But yeah, apparently it doesn't have the clicky clanky of their like tags and stuff whenever they shake.
Gotcha.
But we'll see. I mean, obviously we hear it all the time, so we'll
whatever.
See if it actually works.
I have a so my brother's Rottweiler, because he died 2 Christmases aww. Ago. But they have, like, because he was smelly, because he's a Rottweiler, yeah. So he's yeah. big and had gross. Lots of hair. Yeah. But they have, like, a chunk of his leash, which is, like, yes. nylon, and it's as a keychain on their keys. So, like, my sister-in-law was, like, every once in a while, I'll just, like, smell it. Yeah. And she's, like, and then I cried the other day because it's starting to not smell like him. It's, like, that's so upsetting.
I had a dog named Brinley Spears. And she passed away 3 years ago, maybe. It aww. Was like the worst thing. But whenever, like, so my husband was there and like I met him at the hospital or whatever. And then he like got her like this mahogany box and like her paw print and everything. Aww. And like I still have, she had a pink Star Wars collar. And so I still have that collar and it's like sitting next to her box. Right now she's in a pod somewhere, but no, I think I brought her here actually. She's here somewhere.
I, so that Christmas I found this like makeup because this was when my sister-in-law was pregnant with my nephew.
Uh-huh.
So I got her like this kit. You can make a kid's book that's like personalized for your dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I made one, but at the end, it came with like a bandana with their name on it and like mm-hmm. a Christmas ornament and you add their picture or whatever. And I made that. And then at the end, there was a little box that was like, is this an RIP? Like, is this dog gone? And he wasn't yet, but I was like, he's going though. So I was on the fence for a minute, but I checked it. So at the end, there was a cute little like, even though you're still gone, like, and we don't hear your tail hitting thing. Well, he had a nub because he was a Rottweiler, but
uh-huh.
And then when we opened it on Christmas, everyone, my brother, my niece, like we were all just like, because my niece was reading it and we were all just crying because he was laying yeah. right there, but we were like, it's so sad because you're so sick and skinny. And
yeah, I got her, my sister got me a book of her. It was like the sweetest thing because my sister was living with us at the time. Yeah. And so I'm sure she could hear me. Like, I was sobbing all night long. But she, like, had this book made, and it was all about Brinley Spears. And, like, we shuffled through it and stuff. It was the best.
That's so sweet.
Okay. I came across this mystery. I'm sorry. I should. I'm JP.
And I'm Lynn.
I came across this mystery when I was trying to find some fun international ones. I'm sorry, not fun. I was trying to find some international ones that we could do to, you know, broaden our scope and also do some that haven't really been covered. And this one I have not seen covered other than like maybe a YouTuber or two. Because most of the information is in German and so you can't really translate it, or it's like hard to translate it if you're not a translator yourself.
Right.
I'm
sure a German person that spoke English could do it.
Could do it easily, yeah. I mean, they're probably listening to this right now and mocking my pronunciation.
It's fine. You don't know how to speak German. It's not your fault.
No, but it's my heritage, so I should
mine too.
I should be it. Like on top of this, but
Duolingo.
Today, yeah, no, I've been practicing my Spanish on there. I love Duolingo. They're not a sponsor yet.
I want that creepy little owl to be.
I know
he's so pushy. He's like, you yeah. haven't practiced your French today, and I'm yeah. like, I did actually. I spoke to my cat in French, so it's fine. I practiced.
Right. So pardon me for any mispronunciations or anything of that nature. But today we are talking about the mystery of the Schulze family, which is spelled S-C-H-U-L-Z-E. So I was saying Schulze the whole time I was doing the research for it. The Schulze family was from Drog, Germany. Drog.
That was beautiful.
Germany. Thank you.
I think.
It's a municipality in the district of Harburg in the Lower Saxony, Germany. It's close to Hamburg in northern Germany. So it's on the northern side of Germany, right along the Elbe River, which is one of the major rivers in Central Europe. It goes through Central Europe and whatnot. So it's kind of like our, maybe our Rio Grande River, that goes through a bunch of countries or whatever. It's got a population of 3,623 people. So it's actually very small compared to the rest of Germany. I mean, compared to a major city, that's quite small.
Is it a major city or is it like a town?
No, it's a town.
Oh, okay.
Not as far from what I researched, it's not really known for too much. It's not a huge tourist attraction or anything. It does have several trains and stuff like that that go through it, but that's pretty much it.
Gotcha.
So diving into the Schulze family. Marco was the father. He's 41 years old. He's a major player in this. Sylvia, I know I'm saying these wrong. Sylvia is 43, so she was 2 years older than Marco. And she is also a major part of this. She works at a supermarket. I did not find Marco's occupation anywhere, but I'm sure that if you can speak German or read German, you could look at the news articles and figure it out. But it's just not something that I saw that was translated already. And I didn't really have the money to hire a translator. And then we have Miriam, who's the daughter, and she was 12 years old at the time of this. Now, here's what we know. Tuesday, July 21st in 2015. I'm hearing a knocking somewhere. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, like, sidebar, let me tell you about the ghost that's in my apartment.
Yes.
Okay, because there's times where I'm laying in bed and I'll see like a flicker of light out of my peripheral vision. And mind you, I'm blind as a bat. So when I have my glasses on, I don't have very good peripheral vision. But right. When I turn, like, there's nothing there. So I've seen that a couple times. There's been times where like the trash can opens or dishes will move or like different things will happen. And
so
my
it's
roommate,
like poltergeist activity.
Yes, and my roommate has been here for some of it. Gertie will be staring at the air sometimes. Yeah, and it's
babies
like,
do it too, and they're just like looking and then they laugh, and you're like, "What are you? What is there? What is floating above my head?"
Terrifying. And so the other day, I was leaving because I was going to work, and I opened my door, and I was walking out, and I saw someone walk out of my freaking room, and my roommate was sleeping. Because it was like 7:30 in the morning. My roommate was sleeping. I'm hearing knocking.
I saw something move in your mirror, but it wasn't you.
It was probably the traffic.
Oh, it's your dog.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't see her behind your chair.
I'm
going to
just
like
make sure my door is locked. I'm terrified right now.
No, hold go on. Ahead.
Yeah, no one's out there. So anyway, there's always like knocking or just random things happening, and it's terrifying. So anyway, if
yeah,
I go missing,
can't wait to come carve pumpkins.
Yeah,
in your haunted apartment.
Okay, so back to the Schulze family. Their last sighting was on Tuesday, July 21st, 2015. So this is a recent case. It was 5 years ago. They were visiting a horse farm close to their home. Miriam rode horses, so she was having a riding lesson, and they were all there together as a family. The next day, Wednesday, July 22nd, was the last day of school before their summer holiday. So I did some research because I was like, July seems a little late to be in school, but their school year consists of two semesters in Germany. It typically consists of two semesters and normally starts around the middle to end of August or early September like ours does. But they have longer Christmas breaks. They have longer Easter breaks. And then they have like breaks throughout where it's like 2 weeks off on Christmas, stuff like that. So
the way ours is set up was for farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They needed kids to help with like the
during harvest
and whatever. Yeah. So that's also why we have daylight savings time.
Yeah, which needs to go away.
Yep.
So And then they have a 6-week break in, during the summer. The exact dates of the various vacations and breaks are set by the individual launder. I'm probably saying that horribly.
Launder?
Launder. But it's their local thing.
Gotcha.
So the summer holiday is typically July 30th to September 12th. So this is July 22nd. They're getting ready to go on their summer break.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam wasn't feeling well, so she wasn't able to go to school that day and say goodbye to her friends one last time before the summer break started. And she also had a doctor's appointment that day that she missed. And Miriam is the 12-year-old daughter. Marco stayed home that day to take care of her. We don't know what her illness is. We don't know why she missed her doctor's appointment. I saw some reports saying that, like, mom called and canceled the doctor's appointment.
Mm.
And I saw some cases where she just missed it outright.
Hmm.
So I don't really know too much more about that.
Yeah.
Sylvia went to work, and it said, remember, she works at the supermarket, and it said that she went to work around 4 or 5 p.m., but I think that maybe she was last seen at 4 or 5 p.m. at work.
Mm-hmm.
And her coworker was the last person to see her alive. Can you see my dogs in the mirror fighting?
Yes. As long as it's dogs, that's fine.
Yeah. Marco was last seen, his last solid, you know, this is when he was seen, was buying cigarettes that evening of mm-hmm. the 22nd. He also made two calls. One was at 5:25 p.m. and one was at 7:33 p.m. And we know this because of his call logs, obviously.
Right.
He was also seen taking his trash can out that evening, but I don't know how accurate that is. It was just a witness testimony. And we know witness testimonies aren't always, you know, reliable.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons. So Thursday, July 23rd, another witness came forward saying that they saw Marco at 7:30 a.m. driving home. So driving towards his home. So right. Where was he like that morning? Stuff like that. And we don't know if it's accurate.
Right.
I'll throw that out there. Friday, July 24th, the daughter missed a planned and prepaid horse riding lesson. And mm-hmm. Sylvia's boss noticed, you know, oh, she has not shown up for the last couple of shifts. So he reported her missing to the police. Police went and checked
on
the
home.
Good job,
boss.
I know. It's like one of the only times. So I think that it depends on the type of worker you are. I mean, I've worked in restaurants before, which is similar. It's the customer service thing. But there was one time where I missed a shift because I accidentally slept.
Yeah.
And like, I never take naps. And I was out hard. So they got really worried. And
yeah.
They were like blowing up my phone. They blew up my family's phone. Like they let people know.
Because if it's unlikely, like if you're not a typical, I did that once and I slept through class. I've never slept through class mm-mm. before ever. And I like took a nap and I just overslept and my boss had to like cover half of my first class. And I was like, I'm coming, but I live 20 minutes away. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm alive though. Like I think she was like, is she okay? Because I never, ever, ever miss class. I've gone to class uh-huh. like sick. Not sick, contagious sick, but
right
sick.
But under the weather.
Yeah.
So Sylvia's boss reports her missing. The police go and they check on the home and no one answers to their knocking.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So the police go inside and the cats are there. They're playful. They're not starving or anything.
I mean, it's only been 3 days.
Yeah.
Cats are pretty resilient.
And plus, like, you can leave a pile of food out and they'll nibble. Yeah. Their wallets were there. Sylvia and Marco's wallets were there, along with paperwork, but we don't know exactly what the paperwork is.
Okay.
Another strange thing to note was Miriam's toys were missing. Like, her stuffed animals and stuff were gone.
That's bizarre.
Right. So, okay, maybe she packed them up, but their clothes were all there, like, their suitcases, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
So there were no notes or letters or anything explaining where they could have gone. For the next 3 days, police and the public search for the family and investigators are assigned to the case. So it started as a small task force and then it grew a little bit. On Thursday, July 30th, so this is I mean, roughly 8 days a week after they, you know, were first noticed missing, Marco's bike is found at the Winston train station. And Winston is probably about 40 miles from their home.
Oh.
Yeah. So then Friday, July 31st, I lied. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
It's not 40 miles. It was like 40 kilometers. So it was like 25 miles.
It's but still far. That's
yeah,
still
far. It's far. So Friday, July 31st, Marco's body is found in the Elbe River under a bridge in Lauenburg. So the bridge is 9 kilometers or 5.5 miles from the train station.
Okay. From his bike.
From his bike.
Okay.
He was tied to a 25 kilogram or 55 pound concrete block in the Elbe River. And this is like a construction block. That would be holding something down for a construction site. It was
because that's huge.
Yeah.
That's big. Yeah.
It is big and it's heavy, 55 pounds. And so it was tied to him. And the straps to tie it came from the father's work. Now, remember, I don't know exactly what he does. I just know that the straps came from his work and the block came from a construction site beside the bridge.
Interesting.
So it was located next to the bridge.
Yeah.
He was found near Lauenburg, as I mentioned, which is two bridges away from the village of Draug, which is their hometown. They did find a woman's bike under the bridge.
Sorry. What a way to measure distance.
Yeah.
It's two bridges away.
Two bridges away. Well, so I think that the reason they do that is because it's located along the river. And they probably put them at mile markers
right, or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
It just sounds funny.
So that you can cross the river over.
I'm five bridges north.
a British accent. It's a horrible British accent. I'm not an actor.
You're not. I thought you were.
They did find a woman's bike underneath the bridge that he jumped from. And there are various reports saying that it was Sylvia's. Mm. But there's also reports saying it wasn't. And
right.
It was just a woman's bike. So that's up in the air.
Or a man's bike who owned a woman's bike.
Yeah. So like, did he take her bike or did he take his bike, park it at the train station? What happened?
Right.
There were no injuries on him. So there was no evidence of a fight or anything. No defensive wounds
or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
No drugs in his system. So he wasn't on anything or wasn't drugged at all. And that's all that I have right now for him.
So he didn't like get a blow to the head or anything.
No, there was nothing. Yeah. Gotcha. Saturday, August 1st, police searched the river for Sylvia and Miriam because, I mean, his body was found there. They're like, what if they're there too? They did not find any bodies. They used sonar to check the river and everything. And they continued to search for the next few days. So it wasn't like a one and done thing. They searched for these two people. Mother and daughter. So on August 5th, a credible witness, and I'm using quotation marks because.
What does that mean?
Right. Because I mean, no witness can be that credible. And plus, like, when I read this, I was very skeptical of what the woman had to say.
Yeah.
A credible witness calls police claiming to have seen the family on the 22nd, which was the last time that they were found missing, the day after the horse farm.
Okay.
And I'm going to butcher this. I'm so sorry, everyone. The Mullenteich in Holm Seppensen, which is a dike 45 minutes from Draug. It's basically probably a little pond area with some docks or a lake with some docks. Yeah. And it's got a forest nearby. So they were on a forest walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked up to the pond and off the docks and everything.
Yeah.
It was just a family walk. It was about an hour from where Marco's body was found.
So this credible witness.
Yeah.
Was she walking with them or she saw them walking?
No, she saw them walking.
Okay, continue.
And this is also, about a week and a half after they went missing. So why didn't she come forward? Yeah, August 5th, July 20
Oh, she didn't come forward. So they went missing on the 22nd or the 23rd?
They were reported on the 23rd. They were probably starting to get noticed missing on the 22nd, but my guess is the police and news started reporting it on the 23rd.
Right.
So this is almost 2 weeks later.
Right. And that's the day she saw them was the 22nd. And she's not reporting it till the 5th. Okay.
So 2 weeks later, she's reporting, oh yeah, I saw them. I mean, I always try to take note when I see people walking or anything. I love to people watch. I'm a huge people watcher.
Said the man who said if he saw a car with two people sleeping in it, he wouldn't.
I would walk. I would just drive by. Right. I always take note of those things, though, because I don't know if it is something. I want to be able to report it.
Right.
But I don't want to report false information. So I try to like take as much note as possible.
Right.
If I could walk around with a GoPro all day and people, and like I would live stream that shit too.
Yeah.
But if I could walk around with a GoPro all day, I would be good because then I can be like, oh, someone went missing near my apartment. Let me see what I did on that day. You know,
I think if you did that, a lot of people would watch it because so many, I'm a people watcher too.
Yeah.
My habit though is not helpful. I look at how people walk because I diagnose what's wrong with how they walk.
Oh.
Like I'll be like, you're knock-kneed. You're standing on your instep. You're supinated. Like I'm not a doctor in any way, but I recognize.
Was there anything wrong with the way I walk?
I don't know. I didn't notice. I don't think so.
You have to tell me.
I'll have to look next time. It's only when I'm bored and I'm like sitting and waiting for something, I'll like look at people's legs and be like, oh, you're walking. You need to do this. You need to do this. And I think because I'm a dance teacher, I'm always like, this is what's wrong with your legs. So this is how you need to adjust so you don't get injured.
Right.
So I think I do the same thing with regular people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people walk really weird.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. On Monday, August 17th, so this is 12 days after credible witness comes forward, track hounds found traces of Sylvia and Miriam at the dike, but ended suddenly at the river. I guess the dike or the big pond leads into the Elbe River.
Okay.
Track hounds, I did a little research on track hounds. Now, track hounds, these dogs are not searching, they're following. So they're tracking traces of people.
Ooh.
Tracking dogs need a last seen starting point. An article with the person sent on it to be able to work from, and an uncontaminated trail. Now,
they're not trained to look for corpse or whatever, which is what I think like bloodhounds.
We're getting into that. So hold your horses.
Sorry. My baby boy horses. I'm holding them.
Hold your colts. So they also need an uncontaminated trail, which I'm not sure what that means.
I'm just going to watch behind you from now on. But I'm
afraid. Air scent dogs are another thing. Air scent dogs, whereas tracking dogs follow a particular scent, air scent dogs pick up a scent carried by air currents and seek out its origin. Mm-hmm. So the point of greatest concentration of this scent. So let's like gas or something along those lines. Cadaver dogs are specifically search for the scent of human remains, detecting the smell of human decomposition gases in addition to skin rafts.
Right.
Water dogs, avalanche dogs, urban disaster dogs, and wilderness dogs are all pretty much what you would think that they are. But they're all right. right. Water search dogs they had on the water searching for the smell of the cadaver. They had those on the Elbe River while they were searching, and the lake and everything while they were searching for Sylvia and Miriam. They had track hounds tracking where credible witness, quote unquote, saw them walking. So it does seem that she might be credible because the dogs are backing her up saying, yes, okay, there is somebody. There was traces of them. But remember, this is 3 weeks later.
Yeah. You know? A non-contaminated trail.
Right.
Which, like you said, I don't really fully know what that means, but it's more likely to be contaminated through, what if it rained?
Right.
Or anything. It's summer.
It's summer. People are going to the pond. People are going to the lake.
Yeah.
The river. So all search and rescue dogs will alert, though, if they find remains of humans or if they smell a cadaver, they will alert you. Tracker dogs found traces of Marco leading to the dike and then away from the dike.
Interesting.
So, yeah, mom and daughter, Sylvia and Miriam, were found walking up to the dike and not coming back.
Right.
On Thursday, August 20th, the search was discontinued. October 19th, divers searched the river again and found nothing.
It's the one place. I'm super into scuba diving. I actually want to do like my PADI certification and everything, but I would never want to dive in a river or a lake ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. I think they're gross. And I grew up swimming in lakes, but.
I did too.
People would bring goggles and I'd be like, you want to see what's in there? It's like leeches and mud. Frogs and ew.
So that's, you know, that's pretty much the case. Sylvia and Miriam have never been found.
Hmm.
And now we're going to dive into theories.
That was fast.
It was fast. It's a short story.
Yeah.
So that's I think that's why I'm like, oh, okay, this one will be like 45 minutes, you know,
perfect,
to an hour.
We can theorize longer.
Yeah, the theory, there's a lot of theories. So now let's dive into theories.
Woo!
So theory number one, Sylvia left with Miriam. So Sylvia left Marco with Miriam and Marco took his own life. Now, I'm going to get into some details about Marco later that I was waiting until the end to get into these details. I will say that Sylvia had a daughter from a prior relationship, and the daughter came forward with a lot of information about the family dynamics.
Interesting.
The reason I'm saving it for the end is because, number one, stepchildren always have kind of a negative perception. Most stepchildren have a negative perception of their mother's new family, especially if you're not really included in that family. Now, yeah. I don't know the family dynamics here. I don't know how close they were or anything like that, but we will get into more details about Marco. But the theory goes that Sylvia left with Miriam and Marco took his life, but there's no significant facts behind it. And Sylvia and Miriam have not come forward since. And why would they stay hidden? Because there's no one to hide from.
Right. You know? It's not like they murdered him or anything.
Right. So that theory is probably a 2 out of 10.
Yeah.
1 out of 10. 0 out of 10.
Plus, I feel like the way he died is strange to kill yourself that way.
Yeah, I mean, we'll
it depends on how he tied the block to
him. We'll get into that. We'll get into like, so yeah, the way that he died is not too uncommon, because you normally, if you're going to drown yourself, especially when you're living near a river, you're going to weigh yourself down so that you don't have a choice.
Right.
To stop it. Number one, and number two, so that like, because your body naturally, instinctively will go up, you know, and will get air. So you, if you're going to do that, you would tie a block or weigh yourself down. Theory number two, did someone else kill or kidnap Sylvia and Miriam? And if so, did they then force Marco off the bridge? Or did he take his life because of their kidnapping? Like, was it, let's say Marco was into drugs or was in a gang or something of that nature. Was he so disappointed in himself for getting them involved or getting the, you know, his family kidnapped or killed? Did he then jump off the bridge?
Right.
Or was he forced off the bridge even? I mean, that is an option as well. I could stand there with a gun or holding
and not touch you.
I could, yeah, and I could hold your family hostage and say, I'm going to kill your family if you don't jump off the bridge.
Right.
And then maybe they kidnapped Sylvia and Miriam and put them into sex trafficking even, or.
Yeah, I think I don't want to say my theory yet because I'm sure you're going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a theory anyway, so I'll just let you keep going.
So yeah, that one, that theory is very like, maybe, I mean, I would definitely give that one probably a 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think it's more likely than the other one.
Than the other one, right. Theory number 3. Did Miriam die from her illness or neglect? Because remember, her father was taking care of her, so maybe her illness was getting really bad.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Maybe her illness was getting really bad, and she died before her doctor's appointment, and he felt guilt.
Or panicked.
And so maybe when mom came home, he killed mom and then went and took his own life.
Yeah.
But therein lies, like, what happened to the bodies? Where are their bodies?
Yeah.
Because they searched the river extensively, and they searched the pond and the lake, and, you know, they searched everything so well.
That's what my thought was. Because in my head, I was like, maybe he killed them. But then why the dogs would have traced their scent back. Like, it just doesn't, I don't.
No.
But how powerful is the current in that river?
Right. And were they washed out to a bigger sea or right. something?
And it's summer, so maybe.
But normally bodies float. You yeah. know? I don't know.
Unless he. But did they drag the river or did they? Oh, no. You said there was divers that went in. So they were physically looking around.
Yeah. They were looking, especially because since he was weighted down, I think they looked to see if they were weighted down too.
Well, look at that girl, the Glee girl.
Yeah.
Because she was missing for
A couple weeks,
and it was just a lake.
Yeah. Naya Rivera.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was trying to think of her name. Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, that's theory number 3, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the other thing could be maybe she died and her father felt guilt or was depressed already or something along those lines. Did dad neglect her? Did dad maybe give her something to make her sleep so he could do something during the day and not have to worry about watching her?
And then gave her too much. Yeah.
Right. Like, was it a Casey Anthony type thing? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Now let's go into Marco a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about the theory. Did Marco kill his family?
Mm-hmm.
Marco. Now the theory goes that Marco killed his family at the dock. So yeah. Walked up to the dock, killed them. They didn't come back, obviously. Now that evening that he would have killed them, the 22nd, he had those 2 phone calls, and it's likely that he couldn't have driven to and from the dock between 5:25 and 7:33 p.m. It's a 38-minute drive, so he would have had to drive there, kill them, drive back, and also while he was there, hide the bodies so well that the police can't find them.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of unlikely, and even, I mean, he could have hidden the bodies in the car and gone home, but it's just weird. I don't know. Like, why go to the dock, kill them, and then walk all the way back with their bodies?
Yeah, that doesn't
sense. I think even in that short time period that he would have been, like, loading one body, loading the other body in his car, the dogs would have picked up on a cadaver scent, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but that would be my guess, is that they would be picking up on those scents of, yeah. like, the bodies already decomposing.
Yeah. Or in his car, you know, yeah. they would smell something in his car.
Now, remember, the morning of the 23rd at 7:30 a.m., he was seen driving home from somewhere. So he could have had those 2 calls, gone somewhere super far away, dug, hid the bodies, covered them back up, and drove all the way back. It is kind of, it's not a remote area, but it's very rural. So, you know, there's obviously areas where you can go and dig it up and hide a body, you know?
I have a theory that I'm going to steal from Peaky Blinders for like 2 seconds.
Do it. I have not watched that show.
You should. It's amazing. Anyway, there's one scene where they, because the way that they smuggle and do whatever, all their criminal stuff is on this river that goes through Birmingham. And there's one scene where it's a complicated part of the story, but they kill somebody and he falls onto their boat. And then the boat leaves. Granted, this was in the, you know, early 1900s. Ew. felt really old. Like early, like pre-World War I or right after World War I. So obviously things weren't policed the same.
Not very well.
But I wonder, because even if he killed them on the dock and they fell in the water, the cadaver dogs would still scent that. The water ones would, or whatever. They would sense that they were in the water, not just at the water and then it stops. But if they somehow were on a boat, whether they were alive, and now I have another theory anyway, but I don't think he would do this, because I feel like this is kind of mastermind shit that you would have to really, really, really premeditate. Like, you had a buddy with a boat, so you killed them and they fell on the boat, and then you met them way down further and buried them somewhere far away, so it would make their scent go away.
Right.
But then that brought me to my side theory of, what if he was in trouble with somebody and he needed to help them escape? So he put them on a boat at that dock and then they left and they're alive somewhere. And then he went and had to deal with it and either ended up being killed or killed himself to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's keep that in mind as we go through this theory. So let me find my 38-minute drive.
Take your time.
Marco had no motives to kill his family. They weren't struggling. There was no suicide note. There was no history of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about Sylvia's daughter. So there's a daughter from the previous relationship that believes that Marco killed the family.
Mm-hmm.
She claims that he was an alcoholic. He had just lost his job because of a drunk driving incident in May. So this is 2 months later. So they may have had some financial troubles.
Was that proven that he lost his job?
Yes.
Okay.
So he did lose his job. He did have a drunk driving incident.
Okay.
I think it was just a DUI. It wasn't like...
Yeah. Anything. He didn't kill anybody or...
Right.
Yeah.
But he did lose his job from that. So
quick,
my guess
PSA,
is that,
don't drink and drive.
Yeah. I think that maybe he did something as far as, you know, maybe he was a trucker or something along those lines, or transported things. And that's why he lost his job, is because the main portion of his job is driving. And if you can't be responsible when you're driving and that's your job, it shouldn't be your job. I don't think that... the witness that saw him driving the next morning was accurate, because he had lost his license from the driving incident, from the drunk driving incident.
Right.
Now, I know that here in the U.S., I've known people that have lost their licenses for drunk driving incidents and they still drive. I'm not giving away any names, FBI.
No, don't.
So, I mean, I know that some people still do that. But also, he biked to the bridge 25 miles away.
Right.
So why wouldn't you just, like, the car was found at the house. So why wouldn't you drive? If you're going to drive to hide your family's bodies, why aren't you going to drive to your suicide?
Right. Also, because I don't know the laws, isn't in America, if you get a DUI, you don't immediately get your license taken away, do you? I think isn't it after 3 or something?
It depends on the incident. So if I was driving drunk and I ran into something, even if it's government property or something, that could be rated higher and I could lose my license quicker. It would be points against my license.
Right. So, and obviously if you hit a person or another car or whatever, that's going to be higher.
I think it depends on the amount of damage that you do.
If you're just swerving, you might just get fined or...
Right.
So...
Exactly. But you would get points taken away from your license. And usually, I mean, I think there are some states where it's like a one and done rule.
Yeah. Yeah. State by state.
Right. I don't know.
I wonder what it, well, I just bring it up because I don't, I wonder what it is in Germany. You know, was that his fifth time drunk driving or was that his first? It also makes me think of this great meme about New England drunk driving. And it was like the cops pull over somebody that's not swerving at all.
Yeah.
And there's another person swerving and they're like, yeah, that person was avoiding potholes. You just hit them all. So.
Yeah. That's why. So German laws also crack down on people who are driving under the influence of alcohol.
Good for them.
Especially from previous encounters. Anyone who is driving in Germany is subject to a blood test automatically. And the German blood alcohol limit is 0.5, which I think
ours is 0.8.
3? 0.8. Oh. Okay.
Or is it 0.08? 0.8 sounds really large.
Yeah. So this is like two small beers.
Gotcha. German beers?
So German beers. So yeah, I think that it is pretty strict out there. And it's highly enforced. So
yeah. That's good for them. Ours is 0.08. Just wanted to, 0.8 is way, 0.8 is high.
Yeah.
It's 0.08.
This is 0.5 milligrams. So I don't know if maybe the measure.
I'm not doing all that math.
So let's go into a little discussion about familial side or family annihilators. Typically, it's a murder-suicide where the perp will kill multiple close family members in quick succession.
I thought you said purple.
Purple? Where the perp will kill?
The purple people eaters.
50% of the cases kill themselves afterwards. So that's 50% of family annihilators will kill themselves.
They're cowards. After
they,
cowards, yeah. Cowards, cowards.
There are four types of annihilators. Self-righteous killers hold the other spouse responsible for the breakdown of the family and will often call them before to explain what they're about to do.
Okay.
Then there's disappointed killers who believe that their family has let them down and the killing could be sparked by something like children not choosing to follow a religious custom or the child comes out as gay or transgender or something along those lines.
Or fails college or whatever. Drug addict. Yeah.
Yep. Anomic killers see the family as a symbol of their own economic success. But if they suffer some kind of economic failure, like a drunk driving incident turns to you losing your job, the family no longer serves this function. And gotcha. So you get rid of them.
Is that like that guy in France, the Unsolved Mysteries episode?
It could be.
Because he lost his money or his
powerful. Economic wealth. Yeah.
Interesting.
Paranoid killers. This is the last type of annihilator. Paranoid killers are often motivated by a desire to protect their family from a perceived threat, such as having the children taken away by social services.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just say no. Like the guy that blew his kids up. After he killed his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And his father and the father-in-law like had molested her and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the different types of annihilators. So he would probably fall into the anomic killer as his family was facing some financial woes.
Right.
And he had just lost his job. I mean, he was struggling a bit. He was an alcoholic, according to Sylvia's daughter. He was an alcoholic, so, I mean, really, that's all that there is, at least in English on this case. There's no new updates or anything.
Is it still open? Are they still looking?
It is an open case. They disbanded, like, the task force.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But they'll take tips and information.
They'll take tips and information. Right now, it's lying with the Winston Police Department, which Winston is where the father was found, like, a few miles away from there. And the bike was found there. So they hold the case right now.
The bike. I feel like the bike is weird. So the bike, his bike was how far from the bridge?
25 miles. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, from the bridge. 5 miles? 2 miles? Did you say? Am I making that up?
No, I did. No, it's 5 miles. 5.5 miles from the tree.
So he
Parked at the train station.
He biked 25 miles.
Yes.
To the train station.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe the... if he... I can't. My thoughts are everywhere. Maybe if he did murder them, and then maybe for some reason his wife's bike was at the train station. No, at the train station. Because so, why would you bike to the train station and then walk 5 more miles to the bridge?
Huh. So what you're saying is that somehow the bike, the wife's bike, ended up at the train station.
Yeah.
He went home. So maybe he like biked it over there. He went home, biked his bike up to the train station, took his wife's bike, biked that to the bridge 5 miles away, parked it under the bridge, went up to the bridge, grabbed a brick from the construction site nearby, tied it to himself using straps from his work, and then jumped off the bridge.
Or maybe this makes more sense. Maybe because why would you switch bikes? Maybe the bike is not his wife's and maybe he just stole it so that it was, so that it looked like he got onto a train and so that he would be seen there, but he took a another bike so that he would be more.
So capable. He just wanted his whole family to go missing is what I think it is.
Yeah.
What you're gearing towards is that he just wanted it to seem like his whole family went missing. So maybe he was upset about the financial woes, about the financial strife. Maybe he was going to have to start taking the horse riding lessons away from his daughter. And he was so upset about disappointing her that he found it easier in his mind to just murder his family.
Yep.
Hide the bodies, make it seem like everyone just went missing. And then he staged his death to look like he went missing unintentionally, like not wanting his body to be found ever.
Right.
Unfortunately.
So that it, maybe so that it would distract the police to try to also look for him so that they don't spend as much time looking for his
or something. Or even didn't anticipate his bike to be found. I mean, I don't know. But
but why else would you leave it at a train station? I feel like that's to lead people elsewhere.
Yeah. And also, I don't know of it. There were no like claims or reports or anything of a woman's bike being missing from the train station either, which I think would have been reported.
If it was stolen.
Right. And would have been like not only reported to the police, but reported in the articles as well. Like it was this woman's bike that was stolen.
Yeah.
So the other thing is like maybe he went, maybe he was a gambler even, or got into gambling because he wanted to try and save, like it was his last like push to save his family from like economic failure, and ended up owing a lot of money to somebody.
And what if he didn't kill them? What if it was that theory where at the river they went on a boat or something and he was trying to help them escape, and then he wanted to lead the bad guys
right
to the train station, but then why wouldn't he just go with his family?
Well, maybe he sent them away to try and figure out a solution
right
issue so that
they don't want to run forever. Yeah,
but he didn't.
That obviously. I could see that being possible too.
Or maybe, yeah, and maybe like he couldn't figure it out, so he just killed himself.
Yeah.
And Sylvia knew, well, if I don't hear from him again, or if I see that he killed himself, I just need to stay in hiding.
Yeah.
But it is so hard for anyone to be hidden in the world today.
Yeah, it's
nuts. This is such a recent case that I find it very, very hard to believe that in a country such as Germany, or even if they crossed into another European country, that they would be hit. We're going on over 5 years now that they would have had to been hiding out. And I think
unless they ran really far and went to South America, or there's actually a really large.
But how do you get there without having to show your passport, without having a record of you being there?
Fakes. People fake their stuff all the time.
It's hard to do, though.
When you have
an economic issue, a financial issue in your family, how are you going to afford it?
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say, because there is a German population in Brazil, so they could, yeah, they could blend in down there. But
yeah, but even then, you can't get a job.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a thinker.
It is a thinker. It is a thinker. Personally, I do believe that they were likely killed at the dock. I think that even he could have, it could have been on a boat, like you had mentioned, and he like went somewhere yeah. else, boated somewhere else. I don't know what the correct term is, floated somewhere else, and then buried the family, came back. No, couldn't have done that actually, because remember there was the two phone calls, so the timing doesn't right. work out. So he could have gone there, gone for a walk with his family, knowing that it was like their last walk together, killed them at the docks, walked their bodies back to the car. Although I think that cadaver dogs would have smelled it in the car.
Yeah.
So even that's just like.
And then if they are in the river, then where are they?
Mm-hmm. If he couldn't successfully hold his body down so that it was missing and hidden, and it had floated up, remember? If he couldn't have successfully done that, how did he do it for two other bodies before?
Yeah, and there's no cinder block, there's no blocks over there, anything. He would have had to bring something with him.
Nothing known, yeah.
And then what? You're walking with your family and lugging these heavy
and if your
things.
Family's weighing down, if your family's weighed down, why didn't the divers find them?
Right.
Because they can't float that far if they're weighed down.
If they weren't weighed down, they would have floated to the surface. Yeah. Wherever they were, they would have been found by now.
Yes.
Unless they got stuck on something.
Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking they did that walk. I think that they were probably brought back. Maybe they were killed at the house and he drove away like that evening. Mm-hmm. And then he drove away the next morning to hide their bodies somewhere far, far away in a forest, went and dug them up, like dug up graves.
Yeah.
Hid the bodies. And then he went home and then he killed himself. That's a long time to think about, like thinking about what you've done. That's 25 miles that you're on a bike and you're thinking, what have I done? I really have to pee.
I kind of do too.
I feel so much better.
Me too. I'm glad you did that. I was like, I kind of have to pee too.
Yeah, it was getting really bad.
I can tell by this. You were like, fidgeting.
Yeah. I couldn't stop. So that's honestly all of the theories that I can think of.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with my theory with the bikes. That he wanted to set either the police
yeah.
or whoever he, if he owed people money or whatever, off the scent.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he wanted his body to be found.
I don't think he wanted his body to be found at all. But I don't, because I just don't, if you wanted to, you would have just ridden your bike to where you were going to kill yourself. Or maybe, maybe he rode his bike to the train station because he wanted to jump in front of a train. But you wouldn't do that at a station. You would do that somewhere in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like he probably killed them. I don't think he was forced to kill himself. That theory of maybe someone forced it. Yeah. It doesn't seem likely to me.
I mean, in this case, I think that the most likely theory is what has actually happened, which is he killed his family, hid their bodies, and then killed himself.
Yep.
And he was a coward and didn't want anyone to know.
Yep.
So he staged this thing, this mystery.
Yeah. There's a weird noise coming from your side. Do you hear it?
I do. It's been happening for a bit now, and there's a motorcycle out there, but there's knocking that's happening over here. Somewhere back.
Knocking, and it doesn't, I almost sounded like a car, but it keeps doing it, so it doesn't sound like a car.
There's a red light right here too. So I think that it's the motorcycle like waiting for a red light. And he's
gotcha.
Like,
I haven't heard any knocking. but
there's a knocking. Betsy, come on. Betsy. We don't need to do that, right? Daddy loves you. She walks away all shamed.
Aw, you didn't have to shame her.
I'm not shaming her. So play with your toy. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Such a bully.
Yeah. So, if you or someone you know has any information about this case, please feel free to email us at MrReticle@gmail.com or contact the Winston Police Department in Germany. You can follow us at Mr. Reticle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and anywhere that social media finds you. Don't play with strangers.
And don't trust your government.
Don't forget your life vest.
Love it. Wherever social media finds you.
I don't know.
Gross.